So we are in a series called Practices of Following Jesus, and we're going to be showing you this graphic each week that talks about, first of all, our mission statement. And so over top of the graphic you're going to see is our idea that we are here to influence people to fully follow Jesus. That's what we're about. So in doing that, we want to pursue three core values. We're going to pursue generosity, maturity, and anybody? Last one? Oh, see, it's not even up yet. You can't cheat. Oh, now you can. Okay. Community, generosity, maturity. Those are the three core values we want to pursue, and the practices that we want to put into practice, we want to do them that will help us move from being self-centered to being Christ-centered, are these five practices that you see in the middle. And last week, Pastor Matt talked about the practice of connect and the importance of meaningful relationships, moving from loneliness to connection. And how that's so important for us as a church family, so important for us to offer people in our community that opportunity as well. And there's some great ways that you can be involved in doing that. Today we're going to look at the second practice, which is the practice of learn. And we are designed to learn. I don't know if you know that, but neuroscientists say that our brains are hardwired to take in and process stimulus and information. So sorry, students, when you say you can't learn when you go to school, you can't do it, you are wired to learn, to process and information, and then to work through that information and what it means and how it applies to your life. We learn from the moment we are born. And we continue learning throughout our lives. We are meant to discover. And I want us to capture that. We are meant to discover. God made us in such a way that we are designed to discover the world in which we live. We are designed to discover God. We're designed to discover about ourselves. And so this process of learning is something that God intended from the very, very beginning, all the way back in the garden. It's how we are made. Now, we certainly learn differently. There's different modes of learning, and some may have heard of some learn visually. It helps for you to see things, and that helps to reinforce things for you. Some of you are auditory learners, so when you hear it, you can listen to a podcast without any pictures, and you're fine. Others of you need to watch the video because somehow just seeing helps you to retain that information. We're just wired differently. Some of you are kinesthetic, which simply means you learn best by doing. So this is often you do things with your hands or you put it into practice, and that helps you to learn. And probably the best is where all of these are involved to some degree or another, although we can tend to lean in one direction or another. And so I would just encourage us to learn according to how God made you. Don't necessarily fight that. Find the way that God has made you to learn. If you're auditory, then go down that road. If you're visual, then find the way to, you know, when you take notes, draw pictures. Seriously. Now all the parents would be like, what are you telling my kids to draw pictures when they're taking notes? But if that helps you to remember the principles because you're visual, then that might be the best way for you to go. Well, we're going to do a lot of auditory, as we often do in our time of learning together this morning. But let's do some visuals that might help us and reinforce some things about how we learn and just the fact that we have learned. So here's our first thing. What have you learned regarding this? Right? What have you learned regarding this, right? Most of you probably think of a child or early on in your life when this was on and somebody reached and put their hand on top of it, right? And that's, of course, a horrifying thing, but it happens often where, you know, children or people touch a hot stove. And what do you learn very quickly? Don't do that, right? So check and make sure that it hasn't been on or isn't on because you're going to burn yourself, let alone the myriad of other lessons that you can learn just with this thing, how to turn it on, how to set the timer, you know, all those kinds of things. This is a picture of a stove that is very similar to the one we had in our previous home, and we didn't have much counter space, so we chose to go with the flat top so to increase counter space, and you can almost know where this is going. So you put stuff on the stove, and we lost a number of Tupperware lids and things like that when it wasn't quite cooled down yet. And maybe you can relate to that. So the idea of something just so simple, think of all the things you have learned about just cooking food or using a stove, you know, from the very beginning. We had some people in our home recently who don't speak English, and I was trying to explain to them the timer on the stove. And I was laughing at myself, trying to beep, 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 boop, boop, boop. I'm making all these noises, and they're just looking at me like, you're crazy. And, you know, it's just interesting how you're trying to convey what you have learned to someone who maybe hasn't experienced that before. All right, second picture. What have you learned about this? Oh, the groans, yes, uh-huh. So you've learned, if you've traveled, especially lately, you've learned to expect perhaps delays, flight cancellations, security checks. You know, think of all the things you have to know to travel. I'm not talking about how an airplane works. I'm just talking about how to get to the airport, how to navigate the airport, how to get on your plane, how to get your seat, all the things that you have to know in order to travel, and how overwhelming it could be for somebody who's never had that experience to try to navigate all of that. And some of you maybe recently have had that experience, maybe for the first time, your kids traveling. It can be exciting, but imagine for the kid, it's exciting because they're with somebody who knows how it works. If that child was trying to navigate it by themselves, it would be completely overwhelming. We've learned a ton about even this part of things. All right, next picture. Most of you, if not all of you sitting here today, have one of these or something similar to it in your possession. Some of you, yeah, somebody's shaking your head, no, like, I will not do that. I will never have one of those, right? And that's fine. But probably some of you who have one at some point said, I will not have one. And then at some point you broke down because that's how you get pictures of your grandkids and that's how you get on Facebook, you know, and all those kinds of things. And maybe that's why you have them. But think of the learning curve that you had to have to use one of these. Now, you know, when I grew up, it was still in the day of rotary phones. So I remember in my kitchen, you know, making a phone call. I mean, it took 5 minutes just to place the call, let alone get the person. You had the long cord so you could walk anywhere you wanted and, you know, that whole thing going on. And many of you can remember that. Today, a lot of times kids see a rotary phone, they're like, what's that? I have no idea what that is. But think about how far things have come and how we have become so used to something that has so much to learn embedded in it. Now, I remember when my mother-in-law one time had her granddaughter with her, young, I don't know how exactly young, maybe two, something like that, and she gave her phone, and it was a flip phone at the time, and the granddaughter took the phone and started doing this. And it didn't do anything because it wasn't that kind of a phone. And it's like the child's getting frustrated because it's not responding. Because at the age of two, wherever she was, she knew that when you do this with your finger on the screen, something happens and you can get somewhere and do things. Parents or, you know, those of the older generation, if you need to know how to program your TV, invite the three-year-old. They will come and help you out and fix it up for you because they know how these things work. We learn constantly. Sometimes we don't want to. Sometimes we do. But even in times where we think, oh, I can't learn that, many times you can find that you need to or you do. And these are just some of the examples of learning that we have gone through. Now, learning's not restricted, as we know, to a school or a classroom. It certainly can happen there and does happen there in many different ways, but it's not restricted to that. We don't just go to school to learn. We can learn anywhere that we are. And it's important, especially for parents, to help their children understand that learning happens all around them all the time. In fact, some of our best learning occurs as we live life, as we experience new things. And sometimes that means making mistakes. We try something new, we make a mistake, and that might have a consequence that comes with it, but pretty much guarantee you're going to learn something through that mistake, right? And hopefully you can do something differently next time. Learning is also a social activity. Many educators and social scientists believe we learn best by collaboration and cooperation. Think group projects in school or learning pods, if you've heard of that terminology in the educational world. And there are certainly pros and cons to that, but why are those things happening? Because there's this understanding that there is the potential for greater learning when you're learning in community, when people are sharing their perspectives and their ideas. You know, why do you go to a Bible study versus just studying the Bible by yourself? Both can be valuable, but there's something about the interaction with others while you're studying the Bible to share your ideas and thoughts and hear what others are thinking and how they're processing that helps you to be challenged and helps you to learn. It's a beneficial part of what we do. We also learn from opportunities with other people from what they already know. Being around others, we can learn from them if they have already learned something we don't know yet. Think about apprenticeships or internships that happen. The whole idea is that somebody who doesn't know or is learning can be around people who do know and have done this for a period of time, and they can grow in their expertise. On a very basic level, think about kids watching their parents. Kids are learning constantly as they watch us and their parents. As they see how you do it, they learn, that must be the way to do it. I mean, think about some of the things that you do that if you really reflect on it, there's no real reason to do it that way other than that's how your parents did it, so that's how you do it. Others, and all of a sudden you meet somebody and they do it differently and you're like, your mind's blown. You're like, I never thought there was another way to do this. And then you get married and you got to figure that out. That's always fun, right? But there's that idea of we learn from our parents. Parents, this is significant for us, right? We must be aware that all the time our kids are learning from us. And this isn't just when they're young. It's also as they get older as well. Often they will look to us as their parents for the example or the model of how to do something, how to handle a situation. And certainly we've seen probably situations, I know I've interacted with some children and some of the things they've done or some of the things that they've said, and I've been like, whoa, and I realize where that's coming from. It's coming from parents who are modeling that for them. And it makes me reflect like, oh boy, what am I doing that my kids are mimicking that I wouldn't be too excited about or too proud of? And God, you got some work to still do in me. Parents, we just need to embrace that. It's happening and make sure we set a good example. This whole idea of learning together is part of why life groups are so important. As Pastor Matt talked about last week, they're not just for relational connection. They also help us to learn more effectively. And so, again, just continue to encourage you to pursue if you're not involved in some form of group or in one of our life groups. And if you're interested in being part of the training for new leaders, we'll talk about that a little bit later in the service. So in all of this that we've heard about learning, what do we learn about? Well, pretty much everything that we come in contact with, but especially what interests us. It certainly increases our motivation to learn about something that interests us. And I've seen this happen too. There may be in your life or maybe in one of your kids' lives where they weren't interested in anything at all, and all of a sudden they realize why they need that to do something later, and the motivation kicks in, and all of a sudden they become really good and focused and able to work on something that they could care less about 3 years ago because they see how it fits and how it works into their lives. When we talk about this learning, and especially in a sense of becoming a fully devoted follower of Jesus, fully following Jesus, the question is raised, how do we learn about God? And probably most human beings in the world have at some point this interest in what we would refer to as God. We use that term. Whatever they would refer to it as, some kind of higher than them being, right? There's questions that get asked. There's all of a sudden like, where did I come from? Why am I here? That forces us to ask questions about, is there something bigger than us out there? And how do we learn about God? As followers of Jesus, we learn from him directly. And we learn from others who have learned from him. And both are valuable ways to learn. And I think one of the points that's important for us to remember as we kind of start off this morning is that God wants you to know him. Like, just start there. Do you understand that God wants you to know him? He is invested in you learning about him, and not just learning about him, but actually knowing him in relationship. That's really important to God. So when we come to this idea of learn, especially about God or learning in a relationship with God, I think it's important for us to understand it's not just that God just wants us to be motivated. He's motivated. He's highly motivated to want us to be in that relationship, to learn more about himself. And we may and certainly do have unanswered questions in life, in our pursuit. We haven't learned everything. There are things we don't know and don't understand. But don't lose sight of the fact that God has revealed himself to us. Even with our questions, he still has revealed himself through what he has made, through his word, and ultimately through Jesus. In fact, that's why Jesus came, to show people what God is like. Now, we know Jesus came to go to the cross to pay for our sin. That's absolutely true. But Jesus, take a step back, when he came for a purpose of revealing his Father to us, to the people. This is what God is like. And God walked this earth. In Jesus' prayer to his Father, just before he goes to the cross, it's in John 17, we read these words, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they've obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. Notice, I have revealed you, Jesus says. I've shown them what you're like, Father. I've revealed you so that they could learn about you. I've given them the words you gave me, he goes on to say. Why? So that they can know you, so that they can learn about you. A little later in the prayer, he goes on to say, "Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you've sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them." Just in those two verses there, the word know or known occurs five times. Jesus is emphasizing this idea that, yes, the world can't really know you, Father, fully. You can see parts of you through nature, and absolutely that's true. But I came to reveal you more fully so that they can see what you're really like. And so I came to show them what you're all about. That's your heart, Father, that these creatures that you've made, that these humans that you've created would live in relationship, that they would know you. And this idea of learning from Jesus is perhaps best captured in Matthew chapter 11. If you have a Bible, I would encourage you to open there. Matthew chapter 11. We're going to look at that this morning. We're going to pick it up in verse 25. And it says, "At that time Jesus said, 'I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do.'" Now, in the context, if you read a little bit before this statement, what's happening is that the wise and learned religious leaders, those who knew the Old Testament scriptures the best, were actually the ones who were opposing Jesus. They thought they knew better. So Jesus says, "I've come to reveal my Father." And they're like, "No, you're a fraud. You're not the real deal. So we already know who God is. We don't need you to reveal him to us. In fact, we don't believe that you really have come from him." And there's a sense in which Jesus is saying, "In your wisdom, you've allowed these people who are really smart and really think they know you, but they're so self-focused to miss it. And yet you've revealed yourself to people who, you know, maybe are on the lower end of society in that day, who aren't in the learned circles, so to speak." And what I love about this is that what Jesus is saying is that God makes his learning about him, the relationship with him, accessible to anyone. And I don't want anybody sitting here today and saying, "Well, I don't have a Bible college degree. I don't have a seminary degree. So I'm not really sure how far into this I can go." As we're going to see, God calls all of us to learn, and he has made his truth available to all of us for our benefit. These little children that he talks about represented those who were humble and willing to admit that they needed to learn. Part of the idea of learning when it comes to God is we have to start with a position of humility. "God, I don't know it all. God, you do know more than I do." And stop and think about that. There's a lot of times in life where we can inch up on, "God, I know better. God, I know better. I know you're doing this, but I know better. It would be better if you did it this way. It would be better if you didn't let that happen." And part of that is from the depths of our heart, and we're going through pain and we're like, "I just don't understand how this can make sense." And God knows that. He's generous and he's compassionate to us. He's merciful. He's gentle with us, which I love about him. But at the end of the day, we have to at some point in our lives make a decision. Who knows better, me or God? And if I think I know better, then go ahead, live your life, make your decisions, go in your own wisdom, figure it out. But at some point, if we make the decision to say, "No, I think I don't know it all. I think God would know better than me," then with that comes this humility to say, "Okay, then God, let me learn from you. Let me learn your ways. Let me learn how to do it the way you would want it to be done." Humility is so important in the sense of growing in our relationship with Jesus. He goes on, verse 27, "All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." And here's the problem with those who are rejecting Jesus. They're rejecting the only one who totally accurately, completely accurately reveals God. If we reject Jesus in our lives, we are rejecting the only one who can truly reveal what God is like. And that's a dangerous proposition. It's a choice that we can make. And what he's saying is, "No, I've come to reveal the Father, but if you want to know the Father, you've got to come through me." Jesus said similar wording in John chapter 14, where he says, "If you want to get to the Father, there's only one way, and you've got to come through me. I am the way." And then in verse 28, he offers an invitation. He's talking to this crowd of people who feel burdened in life, and he says, come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In this, Jesus is inviting people to come and learn from him. He's talking to those who are wearied and burdened from trying to follow all the laws of the Pharisees, of the religious leaders of the day, to live up to God's standard, constantly being felt like they're not good enough. They've got to try harder. They're not there. And Jesus is saying, I'm going to provide rest from that, that feeling of never being good enough, of not measuring up. I'll take off that burden, that yoke. And you know what? By the way, part of it is just understanding I'm not good enough and I don't measure up, but God still loves me. See, the religious leaders were teaching, you've got to measure up for God to accept you and love you. And Jesus comes with the message, you're never going to measure up. Put the standard as high as you could possibly put it. In fact, put it higher than that, because God's standard is perfection. It's himself. You're never going to reach that standard. My Father and I, we know that. That's why I'm here, because he loves you anyway. And he offers a way for your shortcomings to be covered through Jesus living a perfect life and dying for his sacrifice to be applied to us so that we can live in that relationship. That takes the burden off of our shoulders. Jesus was perfect for us. We trust in what he did for us, not in what we can accomplish for God. Jesus offers a different yoke. A yoke was something that was used to harness animals together. It was often used in plowing fields. And so a yoke, they would put two oxen or whatever the animals were that they were using, and they would put these around their neck, and they'd be connected so that the animals would walk together through the field so they could plow the field. And often they would put two animals together, one that had done it for a long time, and if they were breaking in a new animal, a younger one, they would put it with an experienced one, because the new one's like, I don't like this yoke, I want to go this way, not that way, and you know, the fields would be like this, right? If you put two new animals together. So you put one with the one who's done it for a long time, and that one keeps the new one in line, and they walk the straight line of the field, and they accomplish what they're supposed to accomplish. And it's like Jesus is using this word picture to say, look, come, you know, I have a yoke. Oh, I don't want to put a yoke on. I don't want to, you know, no, you don't understand. My yoke is light. Why, Jesus? Because I'm in there with you. I'm right next to you, and all I'm asking is for you to walk next to me. And as you walk next to me, I'll carry the weight. But I'll show you how this works. I'll show you how life works. Stop trying to do it by yourself. You're always going to be frustrated. You're always going to feel like you're never good enough. Come walk alongside me. And that's the plan that I have for you. He's not a taskmaster beating us up every time we get it wrong. He holds us to the standard. Jesus never compromises the standard. But he is gentle with us. He's not arrogant, always making it clear that he's above us, though he is, but he walks beside us to help us in the journey. And why can he do this? Because he is perfect for us. He meets the standard on our behalf. Why wouldn't you follow somebody like that? That's somebody I'd like to learn from. Somebody who knows way more than I do, but is encouraging and invites me in to walk alongside and to learn, not constantly putting me down, but constantly saying, you know, I get it. I know you're struggling. Come on, let's go. I'm with you. I'll help you. We can move forward in this. That's somebody I want to learn from. And when we come to Jesus, what is it that we learn? We learn many things, but here's a summary: that the Father is perfect. He doesn't compromise, again, who God is, but we also learn that that same Father loves us, that the Father knows we can't meet the standard, that the Father provided his Son, Jesus, to meet that standard for us and to help us walk a different path, live a new life, and experience a new reality. That's all part of what we learn when we come and follow Jesus and learn from him. We learn that it's not all on our shoulders. It was never meant to be. We were created to be dependent upon the God who made us. So how do we learn from Jesus when he's not here? He's not physically offering this invitation this morning. He's not in person like he was then. So how do we learn? What we learn, first of all, through his word, and if we use kind of school terminology, we might say that that's our textbook. Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 3, all scripture, all of what God has put in his word is God-breathed. Its source is God. Yes, he used people to write it down according to their personalities and their manner, but its source ultimately is him. And therefore, it's useful. Hey, instruction that's useful, what? For teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Why? So that the servant of God may be smarter than everyone else. No. But yet sometimes that's how we treat the Bible. It's like this quiz book that we get points if we know the answer and other people don't. Just can we understand that the Bible was given to us not just to make us smarter, but to make us more like Jesus? And if our exposure to the Word of God isn't somehow transforming us to become more like Jesus, then we're missing the point. Now, certainly that includes knowledge. We need to know in order to do. But many, many times, and I'm speaking to myself so much here, I can be satisfied with the know and I don't get to the do. I know what you want from me, Jesus. I'm just not sure I want to do it. Because that's going to cost me. That's going to be hard. That's going to be uncomfortable. That's going to be whatever, fill in the blank. So I'll know, and I can even tell other people, yeah, this is what you should do. Maybe we should all be doing it as well. That's why it was given to us, that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's word equips us to do what God has called us to do. And so it's important that we fill our minds with the truth of God's word. We learn about Jesus through his book. But we also learn through his spirit. If the word is our textbook, then the spirit is our teacher, our instructor. Jesus in John chapter 14 said this, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate, that word means helper, to help you and to be with you forever. Good news, this person who's coming, Jesus is leaving, but he's sending someone. This person is just like him, so just one of the Godhead, so just as qualified as Jesus is. He will never leave us, he will be with us, and he will teach us, right? That's good news. The spirit of truth, he'll never lie to you, he'll never leave you, lead you astray. He goes on to say, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, just to identify clearly who this is, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So yes, we can't go to Jesus physically to learn from today, but we do have his spirit now within us to teach us, to direct our minds as we expose ourselves to the word of God. And that's why I love when we come to scripture, it's never just us and the Bible. It's us, the Bible, and the spirit. If you're a follower of Jesus, there's always three involved in this process. And many times I feel like we leave out the spirit and we just say, well, here's the Bible and here's me, and I got to do the best I can to try to understand this. So here we go. And then you read something and you shut it. You're like, that didn't make any sense to me. Hopefully tomorrow will be better. Now, we all have times like that, right? There are all times where the scriptures may hit us stronger than other days. But how about if whenever we sit down to read the Bible, we actually start with, God, thank you for your spirit. Spirit, I know you're here with me. You're here to teach me. So as I read this, would you help open my eyes to what I'm reading to help me understand it? And then I don't really want to sometimes ask this, but I'm going to, that as I read it, that you would tap me on the shoulder and say, this is what you need to do, and that you would then help me to do it. And then approach your time in the Bible that way. Because one day of reading your Bible and actually doing something is better than 7 days of reading your Bible and doing nothing. God didn't give us the Bible just to make us smarter. He gave it to us to make us like Jesus. I teach a course along with Kim Jetter called Grasping God's Word, and we're looking forward to offering it again next year, early next year. And it's a course on how to read and understand the Bible. It's a great joy that we get to do. Many of you here have taken the course. And in that course, we teach you a formula for maturity. We might say for following Jesus or learning about Jesus. And I want to share it here because I think this helps us maybe to capture the elements of what it truly means to learn. And we do it this way. So here's what it looks like. And what we call is time, the T-I stands for time. So over time, again, us becoming like Jesus doesn't just happen like that. We trust Jesus and boom, we're just like him. No, it's a process. So it happens over time, plus truth. T-R means truth. So time in God's word is vitally important. We don't just put the Bible under the pillow and it makes us like Jesus. We need to be in it and reading it and studying it for ourselves. But that truth has to be put into practice. That's where the PR comes in. So time plus truth put into practice. Again, we have to realize that it's meant to help us do something, to become something. And all of that under the influence and tutelage of the Spirit of God. This is not, again, something we just do on our own. God never intended that. He always intended for us to have his presence in this process to make us like himself. So time plus truth put into practice, all under the guidance of the Spirit, equals maturity. Maturity in Jesus, becoming like Jesus, following him more effectively. And maybe that's hopefully helpful for you to think through. So where am I missing out? Am I putting time in God's word? Am I then seeking to put that into practice? Am I inviting the Spirit to be a part of that and to teach me? All of those elements need to be in play for us to really grow forward in our relationship with Jesus. Now, as we wrap up this morning, let me just give you one more thing. That a great way to reinforce learning for us is to teach. A great way to reinforce your learning is to teach. Now, when I say the word teach, don't freak out. I don't mean a large group of people and you're standing up in front giving instruction. Teaching can happen in all kinds of different formats. Teaching happens when a dad takes his son or his daughter and goes and shows them how to do something. It can happen one-on-one as well as in a group form. And so one of the best ways for us to reinforce our learning is to teach. Think about it. If you have to teach somebody else how to do something and you're starting that process, what does it reveal? Oh, do I know this or don't I? Because if you're going to teach it to somebody who doesn't, it's going to really quickly show you, do you know it? Can you inform that to someone else, pass that on? And so when we go to teach to someone else, it reinforces our own learning. And this is part of what God has intended from the very beginning. Jesus was passionate about this. He sent out his disciples to continue to make disciples. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul writes these words, "And the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." And many have looked at this passage. This passage is key in the area of discipleship. Because think about this. Paul is writing to Timothy, and he says to Timothy, look, you heard, I taught you, and now I want you to teach other people. And I want you to teach other people who will then teach other people. And I find that so interesting that that is really what Jesus intended to happen. He never intended for us to come into a relationship with Jesus and for it to stop there. He always intends for us to then go and share what we have learned with others around us. And in fact, get to the point where we're helping those that we're teaching, making sure they understand. And guess what? You now have a responsibility to take what you're learning and go help somebody else in their spiritual journey. This is Jesus' vision for making disciples. It is influencing people to fully follow Jesus. This is his plan for how it works. Think about it. Matthew 28, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. There it is. That's what Jesus said. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Identity. And teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. There's our function. That's what we're to be about. Teaching them to obey. There it is. Teaching them. So as disciples, we teach others that part of following Jesus is to obey what he's told us to do. And that their responsibility is also to make disciples, so they go and do the same thing. And this process continues and continues and continues. That's why God has left us here on this earth, by the way. When you became a follower of Jesus, he could have just taken you right to heaven. But he left you here. And a big part of why he left you here is to fulfill his mission of sharing with others the good news of Jesus. It has been said that you have not truly lived out Jesus' vision for making disciples until your disciples are making disciples. Think about that. I'm not just called to follow Jesus. I'm called to help other people follow Jesus. And guess what? I'm called to challenge them to help other people to follow Jesus. And once that gets embedded into the third generation, then the idea is that that will continue to be carried on. I'm to follow Jesus. I'm to help others follow Jesus. And I'm to help them understand that they have responsibility to help others follow Jesus. And when that actually happens, the church is doing what God intended the church to do. So for all the things that we do, the heart of it is that. And so for each of us to wrestle with in this whole idea of learning, it's not just about me growing in my relationship with Jesus, it's about helping others to do the same. Another way of saying this, I was reading a blog from a pastor in Maryland, and he said this: a true disciple continually learns from God. So we are called to ourselves learn from God. I don't know it all. I'm humble. I continually learn from him. Instructs others how to live for God. There's me, next generation. And teaches those they are discipling how to take what they have learned to help others live for God. There's the third generation. And so may it be for each of us who are followers of Jesus, that before Jesus takes us home, that we may have the joy of a third generation disciple. That we have poured ourselves into someone and challenged them and now are starting to see them pour themselves into someone else. By the way, where's the most natural place for this to happen? In our homes. In our homes. Parents with your kids. And then helping them to understand that when they have kids, they have a responsibility to pass that on as well. It's the most natural place for it to happen. But it's not limited to that. But it certainly is a challenge for those of us who have kids. We don't just want to follow Jesus and hopefully our kids will follow Jesus. We also want to embed in them that they have a responsibility to help others to follow Jesus as well. And that's when we fulfill what God intended for us. Let's pray together. God, this is a challenge. Maybe it made us uncomfortable, and your word often does that. But I pray that we would respond. This idea of learn is so powerful. I pray that you would help us to go deep into your word, help us to do it in community, help us to then be changed by that and by your spirit to do what it is that we are learning, trusting you with the results, and help us to take seriously why you've left us on this earth, that we are here certainly to follow you, we're here to help others to follow you, and we're here to help them understand that they are to help others to follow you. Lord, help us to do that in our homes, first and foremost. It is the foundational place for this to happen. In no greater way, perhaps, do you give us opportunity than with children that will live with us for consistently for a number of years to embed that in them. Lord, forgive us for the times where we don't do that and we are distracted by other lesser things. Help us as parents to take that seriously and to seek to model it for our kids, instruct our kids, and then encourage them to live it out in other people's lives as well. Thank you for many in this church family who are doing this, Lord, and the fruit that we see because of it. Help us each to take into account what you have said and to live it out for your honor and glory. Jesus, for this to happen, you must be our vision. You must be who we follow. So as we sing this song, may it be a song of commitment, Lord, to continue in following you. In your name we pray, amen.